Here we go. It's the John Curley, Sherry Elliker show, and if you're anything like the president, you can
taste it.
You can taste it. Time it in the house. All righty. Let's see. You're not here tomorrow, Sherry, are you, huh?
I am not here tomorrow. I am taking a rare day off tomorrow.
Okay. Well, here's a little rule of thumb.
The best rule of thumb is don't do it.
No. Come in tomorrow. All right?
Okay. I'll change everything.
Got it. It is the known as the hottest work day of the week. It's now Wednesday. What do they mean by the hottest work day of the week?
Yeah, like Wednesday's the new black. I mean, Wednesday is the hot day, apparently, in New York City especially. So, of course, New York City being the center of the universe, that's what they talk about. So because this hybrid work schedule always includes a Wednesday, you can work sometimes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday's sort of this key day now, where it used to be just, you know, a day in the middle of the week, and Friday was the big day. Now, Wednesday has become when things are happening in the city. So lots of people are going out to lunch. They find there's more congestion on Wednesday. Hotel occupancy is up for business travel on Wednesday. 46% of U.S. office workers went to work on a Wednesday. So that is the day the most people are in the office, even though most people are not in the office full time anymore.
Yeah. I remember reading that Wednesday is the day that most people call in sick.
I can see that, where you kind of get through 2 days and then you just can't do it and you get,
No. You're not really sick. No.
Yeah.
Like you. Like you're obvious. So on you. If you were to call in sick on Friday, people are like, yeah, sick on Friday, forget it. Nobody believes that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Monday, it's like, oh, come on. Because then you do, I think I'm coming down with something. On a Monday, it means you just don't want to go into work. You're hungover, whatever. But Wednesday's the day you can kind of slip in there. Because no one's thinking, why would anybody call in sick on Wednesday? Because people call in sick, they get the three-day weekend or they get Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But bang, right in the middle of the week, hump day, the Wednesday. But in this case, it is the day that you get the majority now are coming in because this, you know, cultural dynamic shift, this paradigm shift that has occurred within the workplace. A friend of mine is trying to hire people, and he told me of the 25 people he had interviewed, the number one thing that most of them, of 25, he said 21 of them said, I will work for you, but I want to work from home. I am not coming in. And he's like, okay. And then he had to go back to his boss again and say, yeah, I can't get anybody. No one wants to come in. And I got a friend of mine who said a lot of his workers have now moved to Europe and they haven't told anybody, but he goes, you can pretty much tell because, you know, they're bouncing emails over to you at 2:03 in the morning. And you're like, are you in Germany by any chance, Brad? So it is, I guess, the workday for those, as you mentioned, New York City is the center of the universe. So Wednesday's the day that more people are doing stuff, more things are happening. And maybe that's also the day that you have to get more of your, spend more time with your chief happiness officer. Oh, I can't believe this. Do we have one of these people, Chris or Andrew? Have you noticed somebody's in charge of it?
We had they were calling it the Task Force of Fun. If that counts. We haven't had lunch or anything in the office for ages. So I don't know. There hasn't been a lot of fun here.
The task force of fun?
That's what it was called.
Just having Chris say that. The task force.
That's why I asked him and not Andrew.
All that's left is a couple of billboards that have old iconography on it, and that's about all that's left of it at the moment.
Iconography. What is that?
The places where they put up announcements for Task Force of Fun stuff.
Iconography is an what? Iconography.
Icons, the things, pictures of. It's hard to explain.
I think you're saying it's like a ghost town of a task force.
Yes,
of
that's,
fun
that's
here
a better
now.
Way to put it.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
So the task force hasn't met in a while.
No. I remember that you would come to your desk and there'd be a little note there, like a Valentine's Day note, and there'd be like two Hershey's kisses and be like, the task force of fun has been here, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, and they would have lunch trucks and you know, once in a while there'd be something here. But there hasn't been anything here for a long time.
Remember when they? I remember going upstairs one time to sales. They had pizza up there. And this was an uncomfortable moment. It didn't create any happiness for me. I ate 3 pieces of pizza. I don't have an off switch when it comes to pizza. I could eat 6,000 pieces of pizza. And people are like, yo, you really want to take it easy on the pizza? I just keep going and going and going, right? And I had eaten 2 pieces, I think, or more. And then I felt somewhat guilty. So I looked around and I said, hey, by the way, who bought the pizza? Who bought the pizza? And I held out a $5 bill. And the salesperson said, I did. And I said, oh, okay, well, here, I want to pay for my, I ate a couple of pieces. And she said, I'll tell you what. Tell me my name, and I won't take your $5.
Ouch. I take it you could keep the $5.
I was able to regurgitate both slices into their full form again into my hand. I said, I'm sorry. Did I say, huh, what? No. And she goes, I'll give you a hint. We just worked on a sales campaign together about a month ago, and I shot you about 50 emails regarding the client. It's like, ooh.
Wow.
And everyone just stopped talking and looked at me.
Oh. Where was that task force when you needed it?
I know. Craig, do you remember that? Craig, do you remember that? I mean, Chris, do you remember that? What was his name? Chris?
Yep.
Craig.
I don't remember that that instance, but was the pizza good?
It was very. I don't remember. After that, I was just.
Do you think that kind of stuff does anything for the morale, or does it just a bigger paycheck help? That's what I think. This whole thing's such a waste of time. Just give us more money.
Well, this Chief Happiness Officers.
Is Sherry bringing the topic back? Okay, Sherry, yeah, hang on. Here are 2 experts to talk about your chief happiness
officer. Who was your favorite example? Was there a chief happiness officer where you just said, wow, that guy or that woman is awesome. They're doing great work. Do you have a favorite example?
Yeah, there was this woman from a company in Amsterdam. They already had a chief happiness officer for like 4 or 5 years. And they did a lot about happiness in the company. So like every day there was something with happiness, and you really see that this woman was a professional chief happiness officer, and that other CHOs named her as an example. So
he's got 9 more seconds. I haven't heard one thing that this person did. That made, I know. Okay.
It was very interesting to see the kind of hierarchy you have in this world of CHOs. So she was very cool.
Nice.
He was accused of stealing coworkers' joy.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that person. Yes, nice. In Denmark, they have the highest work satisfaction, and they have chief happiness officers there. I watched an entire YouTube presentation by this guy, and he explained that touching is one of the things that you need to do in the office in order to continue to keep happiness kind of going.
Oh, that's a big no-no here. Plus, they're just happier in Denmark. Isn't that like one of the happier countries in the world?
Yeah, well, because they have lower expectations. I mean, he was very specific about the touching. Like, you could go up to somebody that's working and just give them a light massage.
A light massage, and then you'd get a light lawsuit if you did that here.
All right, what if you were working, and I didn't really know you that well. We'd only been working for a couple months together, right, Sherry? And you're sitting there at your desk doing whatever you do. Like, let's say we're not doing radio. And I come up and say, hey, can I braid your hair?
Why didn't you just do that to the woman you couldn't remember her name? Just start giving her a light massage.
Right. And then braid your hair. And the whole time, maybe it would come to you.
Chris, let me ask you this. You think you could name a bunch of people in the office? Like if I went around the entire station and just picked up 7 people randomly, had them come downstairs. I said, Chris Martin is going to try to guess your name.
No, but I haven't worked with them or sent a bunch of emails.
And they didn't get 50 emails from, he didn't get 50 emails from one person.
Okay. Andrew, do you know everybody's name?
Do I? No, I don't know any. I don't know.
Okay, fine.
Any people's names. I have trouble with names in general. So asking me to remember a bunch of coworkers' names on top of that is just too much.
Got it. All right. I don't know if we have one. The what do they call it? The Phalanx of Fun. What was the name of these people? The Army of
the Task Force
Joy?
Of Fun. Task yes, Force of it. Fun. Yes, but
right,
the chief happiness officer. They say that on LinkedIn, There's been 65% more mentions of this of happiness or things like that in terms of job descriptions. It's basically an HR position, but then there's more to it. It's like they do team building activities. It's kind of a rebranded HR person. They make sure that everybody is doing well. They're concerned about, you know, everybody's well-being and if they're feeling good about things. Ernst & Young recently had a meeting, this huge thing, and it was all about worker loneliness, how certain people feel lonely at work. Why is the working world getting involved in our I think it's so intrusive. I really do. It's like, who wants all that? That, you know,
it's
you
work.
Go to work.
It's
do
work.
Your work.
It's work. It's so bad they have to pay you to go. It's called work, and it's work for a reason. You can't have this thing where everybody's happy at work. I found the only time I was ever happy at work was when you're normally either making fun of somebody else, either behind their back with somebody else that you like to share that with, right? Or setting up weird traps and making somebody eat something that's got something in it, and then everybody laughs. Or my joy that used to come at least once a month, Eric Riddle at Evening Magazine, great guy, but whenever you mention the word panties, his whole face would turn bright red. It was like pressing
horrible.
A button. It was the greatest thing. And if I was bored and sitting at work, I'd just look over at Eric and I would go, hey, Eric, did you get a chance to talk to that lady, you know, the one we're going to do the story on that's got that collection of Mickey Mouse stuff? I think she's out in Ording or something like that. And he's like, yeah, I called her. I'm still waiting for a call back. I said, good. Can you find out if she also has a collection of panties? And then with that, his whole face would turn bright red. But I would always tell people I was going to do it, and we'd all laugh at him. To me, that's fun.
That is funny. And you can't do any of that. So instead, because they've taken all the fun out of work, because you can't do anything without getting sued or being in trouble. So now they have this person that's supposed to walk around and make sure you're happy. Happy is so subjective. What makes you happy may not make anybody else happy. So how can they put this blanket, you know, thing on this, like everybody's going to be okay? I mean, other than food, like everybody likes cupcakes, right? So that'd make you happy. But what else is there? What can you do to make sure every person is happy in a group? You can't.
No. And the fact that more of your employers are now asking people, they say that why are bosses asking about your feelings inside the empathy management trend? This is also part of the Wall Street Journal. It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't want that person coming up to me, braiding my hair or giving me a light massage.
Or knowing your name.
Or knowing my name. Or anything like that. Right.
Anyway, the empathy thing, that kind of goes along with it, where it's this empathetic leadership, where you're more engaged. You want to make sure that you have active listening skills. You're showing vulnerability. You're building trust. This is stuff that you have with your friends, your family, your partner. It's not necessarily something you're going to get at work. I mean, you're supposed to go in and do your job and be productive and be an active, you know, contributing member of the unit, right? But do you need someone in there like taking your temperature every day? And what can they do about it? Like, what are you going to do?
How are they doing orally? How are they doing the temperature?
Well, it depends. If they can get the light massage, you never know.
What's coming next?
Right.
The other thing was, to me, and I guess it's all very immature. I admit it. All right. In case you were wondering, like, for instance, the other thing we used to do was you're in the one stall, the other guy's in the other stall. You'd get, if you finished your business, you take some of the toilet paper, you dip it into the toilet, and then you throw wet toilet paper things over into the other stall. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Again,
by the way, Chris, I'd like to apologize. I was the one that threw the wet toilet paper at you a couple of weeks ago.
I thought
it was
so.
Me. Yeah.
And you can't do that nowadays. You're not allowed to do that.
No.
So I think what's happened is people are grasping at straws to try to make workers feel better about things.
Grasp at straw game. That's fun.
That's good. Yeah. That's let's let the fun brigade. What's it called again? The fun task force.
The task force of fun.
Task force of fun.
Oh, God. Don't you feel sorry for those people? Because you know it's so apathetic. People don't care. By the way, are my balloons still at my desk, Andrew?
They are.
Good. Thank
I don't
you.
Know if you can call them balloons at this point, though. They're more like a plastic lining on your desk.
I refuse. I refuse to take them down.
You want me to take them down?
No, don't touch them, please.
Are they still floating, or are they just on the desk?
No, they're down. They ran out of air eons ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago, somebody sent me there for my birthday.
Wait, and you—they've been there for 2 years.
Yes.
Your desk is right next to my desk, and I see it all the time, and that's how I know.
Yeah, just don't be touching those. You can look at them from afar. Or you're gonna get some wet toilet paper.
You can take a picture of them and take it home, but you can't touch them.
Right.
I'm going to take a picture of it, including your little Trump sign. I almost took that off.
Oh. That was not my sign. Somebody put that over there.
Really? Okay. I'm going to take a picture of it. I'll tweet it out.
Really? Oh, look at you. Really? Okay, fine. All right, Mickey.
I got love for you, John.
I got love for you, girl.
All right.
I mean, you know, light back rub and stuff, and I'll braid your hair. By the way, Sherry, we have taking a question from the studio audience. There's a gal back there. Yes, you have a question you wanted to ask about.
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Pizza covered in cocaine.
Oh yes! Oh yes!
Oh, there. All right, there you go. So, you little eat that, and you won't gain any weight because the cocaine helps the adrenaline, and you burn it off real fast by running around and accentuating your personality. Joe Biden, by the way, there's a weird thing going on with Joe. Now, I had read somewhere that when you have dementia or beginning signs of dementia, you have a thing called sundowning, which is at night you become more agitated, you're more likely to lose your temper. And there's a guy that's been tracking every time Joe Biden sort of loses his temper, either he's yelling at a reporter or getting mad at somebody. Is it dark? Is it nighttime? Because they're trying to figure out, is there something wrong with the president? Here he is. What box of food is he talking
about? Remember those long lines you'd see in a television? People lining up in all kinds of vehicles just to get a box of food in their trunk. How quickly we forget. People were hurting. And what did the MAGA crowd want to do?
What?
Forget it. Forget it.
Forget what?
God, this is the United States of America. The idea that people would have to wait in line an hour, hour and a half to get a box of food.
Is he talking about because inflation is so high, people can't afford food now? Or when were they waiting? And hold on, he's got the last part here.
In their trunk. It's just unbelievable.
Okay.
So he's on the road. He was in Illinois, and he was talking about, I guess, farmers, and they're trying to increase aid to farmers, lower food costs, that type of thing. So that must have been the connection.
Box of food.
Yeah, I don't know what the box of food was, unless he's talking about during the pandemic, food banks were, you know, very active, and a lot of people had to go to the food bank to get food because they had lost their jobs and things were not good for many Americans.
When will the media, and I mean like CNN and MSNBC, Donald Trump would have trouble walking down that plank thing and he was grabbing a hold of the rail, or he picked up the water thing with two hands, or he said Thailand instead of Thailand. And then CNN brought in all these people, some doctors, some not, and they analyzed him. Is the president losing his mind? Should we do the 25th Amendment? What's wrong with the guy? Is he not well? Is it hours of this sort of stuff? Have you seen anybody on CNN, MSNBC? I know Saturday Night Live is starting to do some jokes on it, but have you seen anybody else that's on the left side of the media talk at all about Joe Biden and these weird things that he does?
No, I haven't. I think if they were going to cover it, the safe way to cover it would be that Joe Biden has a temper because he every once in a while, you know, gets snarky. Remember what he did with Peter Ducey when he called him a stupid, you know what?
Yeah.
And so it might be more that they would probably frame it like, oh, the president is passionate about this.
I see.
You know, he became agitated about it because it means so much to him, because the Democratic Party is the party that cares about you.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Passion. Got it.
Yes.
There's a Kentucky Derby trainer who apparently is in trouble because he tweeted something. One guy was that Gorka tweeted out something like, what are her qualifications, talking about Kamala Harris? And then this guy, I'm sure it's just a horse trainer. He's just some guy, works in stables and horses and stuff. He's the guy that helped train Rich Strike, who just won the Kentucky Derby. Now, apparently he tweeted something out.
Was that your actual account, and was that a tweet from you? And if so, what do you have to say about that?
I haven't seen anything about it. Haven't been told about it. I don't know what's going on out there. I'm more concerned with Richie and what's going on with us and this great horse and how much he's helping everybody. So, you know, there's haters out there, and that's about how I want to leave something like that.
He tweeted something about Kamala Harris's her qualifications. She's good on her knees. Is that what he tweeted out there? That was the
He was responding to former Trump advisor Sebastian Gorka. And what exactly are Kamala's qualifications? And that's when he made that remark.
I see. So you can't make jokes about sort of sexual innuendos.
Well, I agree that because he's a horse trainer, it's not like he's going to run for public office. So he doesn't really have to worry about his image necessarily. come on.
No. I mean, we want to do fair. You don't want equal white rights. You know, you want to make fun of Donald Trump and his little hands.
They should do a version of Romeo and Juliet with Trump and Putin. I'd like to know how much. First of all, Rens Priebus, it says it's a blessing.
It's a blessing.
How much self-tanner does he have on his lips? You know? But I mean, to say it's a blessing and to kiss his butt like that, it's nauseating.
Yeah, and then they went on to talk about Donald Trump's little hands. That's been the big joke, his little hands. And then in this piece as well, she also said that Donald Trump would be bottom, referring to if he was involved in a homosexual act, that he would be bottom. So it's okay. Listen, if you want equal rights, you're going to be able to offend males as much as you offend females. Or do we treat the delicate sex? You can't say that word anymore. We treat the delicate. We treat women differently than we treat men. Or is it just the rough, sharp elbows of politics? And you can say something disgusting about Donald Trump. You can say something disgusting about Lindsey Graham. You can say disgusting things about Kamala Harris. Don't we want equality across the board? Or would you treat women differently than men?
Well, there's definitely a double standard. I will agree with you on that. I don't think any
of
this stuff.
Should there be a double standard?
Probably not. And
yes.
I don't. You think there should be?
No, there shouldn't. Listen,
there
should. If you want to get into. Listen, if everybody's equal, then you're equally vulnerable and you're equally available for mockery.
I think what happens is it becomes more shocking when it is done to a woman. Whether it's right or wrong, it just sounds worse because people have really backed off, especially with Kamala Harris. I mean, they have gone after her mercilessly in terms of her performance and what she does and how ineffective she is. But they don't really take any personal shots at her. So when someone like this says that, it does sound kind of shocking because it's been pretty hands off with her. That's the only thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you get in this game, that's what's going to happen. The gloves are off. It is a brutal world out there in politics. So you can expect people to take a shot at you every once in a while.
Right. And you standard across the board. I mean, these are all distasteful. Then there's no separate rules for men and women. If we recognize there's a difference between men and women, and some people are men and some people are women, that's science, apparently. So we would like to be able to say then everybody's equally offended. You can just take shots at the same. Doesn't matter, right?
I don't think it should. It shouldn't. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right.
Okay. I mean, you're right. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, I want to be treated exactly the same way, and I don't want to have my role diminished because I'm a woman. And then if somebody does something to you that you think is offensive as a woman, you can't do that. You have to say, okay, I'm in this full on.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Just checking. I mean, not that I would ever say anything to offend you, Sherry.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say. Okay. Yeah,
is that true? I mean, I make an occasional joke about the size of your hands. Nothing wrong.
Oh.
oh, Mickey, please. Like, oh, please. Oh, suddenly Mickey's innocent of everything.
No, I'm not saying I'm innocent.
You just keep your hands away from my balloons, all right?
Boy. Oh, boy. I could take that so many ways.
Thank you, everyone. Here comes that mailman now. The mailman's got a mailman song for us. He's going to sing this song because that's what the mailman does.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yeah, right to your door.
What's going on here?
I'll tell you what's going on here. We got some mail. We're going to get to the letter of the day, but first I take care of all the rest.
We got to do it. Got to have our contest.
That shows you we don't really care about our listeners. If we end up, nope.
Okay. Wednesday are the new hot day. Wednesdays are the new hot day. Okay, 206.
Yes.
Wednesday is statistically the best day of the week to go skiing or golfing, says 206.
Thanks for that. Six-year-old running the marathon, 206. See? Question mark. Running a marathon isn't that big of a deal. Even a six-year-old can do it.
206 okay. says, what a coincidence that that young boy ran a marathon and his name was Rainier in the Flying Pig Marathon. Seattle has both Rainier and a flying pig.
Wow. Chris, these letters are great today. 253. How about CPS for the parent who brought their child to the downtown Seattle demonstration and got pepper sprayed? That should have been anticipated. Okay, we'll send CPS over there next.
Unicycle Mike says, 8 minutes a mile, I could unicycle backwards faster than he could walk the marathon. I think you said 18 minutes a mile.
18, yes. So just hold your horses there, Unicycle Mike. 360 says, it's the lazy, fat, A-blank people who are complaining about the kid running. He would have been whining if he didn't get a chance to do it.
Donna says, my friend's four-year-old did a 20-mile bike race on April 16th. It took about 5 hours and lots of granola bars, snacks, water, popcorn, and chocolate kisses.
Thank you, Donna.
Ring, ring.
All right. Here goes another one. Black Hole Discovered 206 says, and strangely enough, the Incas knew about the black hole hundreds of years ago. Ooh, first time caller west of the Rockies. Go ahead.
UFOs.
Yeah.
Trevor says, if everyone took a university course in geology or astronomy, it would change the world. No aliens needed.
Okay. Coast to Coast, 206, John, you're making fun of Art Bell. Coast to Coast may not sound believable right now, but at 1:30 a.m., when you're on your third glass of wine, George Norrie is a genius.
Space Mellow says, John says Venus ain't a planet more.
I'm sorry, I messed up.
Okay. Mickey says they found critters on another planet, and Sherry's got big hands. Just a bang-up job on today in the solar system, fellas.
253.
Got them all in there.
There certainly are other beings in the universe, but if they're smart enough to build a system to travel millions of miles to get to our world, they would be smart enough to leave in a hurry. Our world is a disaster. They don't want to stick around here. No way. Not when you got people doing stuff, whether it's the cream in your hair or the ranch in your mouth.
All right.
Thank you.
Actor who glued hand to Starbucks counter. Lori says, Curly, last hour you referred to James Cromwell as an old washed up actor. Perhaps you need to schedule a show about age discrimination.
Thank you. Wait a minute. Old and washed up. That's bad?
I don't know.
Fine.
I mean,
Biden in the box of food, 206 says, John was, Joe was talking about the Great Depression when people were putting boxes of food in their kit in the back of their Model T. How quickly we forget. It's exactly what it was. All right. Teeny Tiny. She's right over there. Let's call her up.
Ring, ring.
Teeny? Okay. Teeny, call her again, Sherry.
Ring, ring.
Nope, she's not coming. Sorry. Better of the day.
She's just lazy. Kyle says this. Dear Diary, when I thought the world was getting back to normal, Sherry actually said ringworm followed by scabies. I must now cut my day short and bathe.
Ringworm. If it happens, it happens.
Yeah. Ringworm and scabies.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Thank you, Sherry.
No more.
Thank you, John.
Let's do another hour, but let's make it sound exactly like the first hour. No changes. Verbatim. Okay. Get the transcript out. Here we go.